Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace be unto you. Welcome each of you to Ignite, our weekly broadcast centered on infusing you with the Word of God, inciting His power, and provoking His passion within you. Our desire is that our broadcast will establish growth, new zeal, and God's purpose for your life. This is Pastor Lakeisha Camp Grant, founder of A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and I will be your weekly infuser. I am delighted at the opportunity to usher you into the best part of your life. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Ignite. This is Apostle Lakeisha Grant, and I am the founder and the senior pastor here at A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. We are located in the beautiful city of Richmond, Virginia. We're right here at 6209 Lakeside Avenue, and we're just excited to be in your hearing on today. We bless God for those who are in the house on today. Hallelujah. And we bless God for those who have joined us online. Amen. And who are listening in. We thank God for you. Amen. And I believe, I pray that your week has been going well, that you have been experiencing the blessings of the Lord, that you have been experiencing God in a greater way, and you have had the opportunity to have your ups and have your downs. But at the end of it all, you still can stand and say, God, I'm grateful to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to just jump into our lesson on this afternoon after a word of prayer, but I do want to let everyone know, amen, we want to invite you to our Sunday morning worship experiences. If you've never joined us at A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, we want to give you the opportunity or extend an opportunity for you to come and join us every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Our address is 6209 Lakeside Avenue in Henrico, Virginia. If you need to find out more information about us, about our ministry, what we do, what we stand for, we welcome you to our website at www.ditrministries.com. There you'll find all kinds of good stuff concerning A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. And so we ask you to go there, find out what you can, and then just come on over into the house and visit us when you have an opportunity. Amen. Amen. Well, let us go before the throne of grace and prepare our hearts for the word on tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you for this day, God. We bless you for all of our ups. We bless you for all of our downs. We thank you for everything that's good that came our way. And we thank you, Father God, even for those things that have caused us to be challenged in our faith, challenged in our beliefs. But we know, Father God, those things are character builders. Father God, as we come before you on tonight, God, we're coming seeking to hear what you have to say to us. We're coming with an expectation that you're going to speak explicitly and clearly to us. Father God, that this word will cause us to be propelled into the next place of our purpose, into the next place of our destiny. So, Father God, we open up our hearts and our spirits to you on tonight, that you would speak, Holy Spirit, Father God, and that this word will cause our lives to be forever, to be made better because of the word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Again, we want to welcome you to A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. Now, what I'm going to do on this afternoon or on this evening, you all know for maybe about 3 or 4 weeks, we have really been in the pocket of studying Psalm 51, and we have been in that place of talking about deliverance. Amen. And God has really been blessing us tremendously. And I thought on last Thursday we were done. Amen. But I don't think the Lord is done with this whole subject. And so I want to give the Holy Spirit leeway to continue to minister to us. Amen. You know, how many of you all know that when we deal in the realm of deliverance, deliverance is like peeling an onion. Amen. You know, it's like peeling an onion. It's layer after layer after layer of things, amen, that we have to deal with in order for us to get the fullness of the flavor, amen, or walk into the fullness of what comes out of deliverance. So on tonight, I believe that the Lord is going to take us a little further, because at this point, it's like this. We talked about Psalm 51, and the Lord just You know, he just spoke to us so, he broke that thing down to the smallest detail about the Psalms 51 and the importance of deliverance, the importance of identifying some things about you, the importance of repenting, the importance of understanding the gist of justification, and all of the things that God wants us, the importance of understanding redemption, and all of the things that the benefits that the Lord offers to us through deliverance. But when we began to look at deliverance, I went before the Lord and I said, okay, so now that we're delivered, right? So now that we know what our issues are, now what? What do we do now? Because I believe, and even as I was speaking to the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this particular thought, that's where a lot of us are. We found our place. We found ourselves in a place of receiving deliverance and receiving the fullness of His joy and all of these wonderful things that come when we accept deliverance. But what do we do with it? Hallelujah. What do we do with the deliverance that we've received? How do we maintain our lifestyle of deliverance? Amen. And so tonight I'm going to pull from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And we're going to go through this particular text here because I believe that this particular text is going to help us understand how to maintain a lifestyle of deliverance. Amen. Hebrews 4, 16. And the scripture says, again, it's Hebrews 4 and 16. And the scripture says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So and now that, like I said, now that we've gone over Psalm 51 and we have a deeper level of understanding of deliverance, I mean, we broke that thing all the way down. So and now that we understand that it's by grace that we receive this wonderful gift called deliverance, at the end of the day, the question remains, what's next? What do we do with this deliverance? What do we do with the freedom that the Lord has released over us? What do we do? How do we maintain that freedom? Because I think it's very ironic, and I see this over and over again, that people will make these declarations, God, I'm free. God, you delivered me. But we find ourselves being repetitive in our issues. We find ourselves repeating the same things over and over and over and over again. But you say you're free. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that means it's a breakdown between what God delivered you from and what you or the place where God delivered you and the thing that you were delivered from is a breach. And apparently the thing that you were delivered from don't know you delivered. Uh-oh. So I began to think about that thing. I remember years ago I used to smoke. And then the Lord delivered me from the addiction of smoking. Hallelujah. He delivered me from the addiction of smoking, but I never lost the craving. Never lost the craving. I mean, even in my prayer, Lord, take it out of me or whatever, certain situations will provoke the craving. Places I'm at provoke the craving. To this day, it provokes the craving. And so I said, God, what is that all about? What is that all about? And some people can say, well, you know, it's kind of like Paul, you know, he had that thorn, you know, well, I don't know, because I got some other things that are quite thorny. So I don't know about that. But what I can say is that, you know, it is a constant reminder that deliverance is a constant place that I have to stay in. That deliverance is just not, now God can do it. Don't get me wrong. There can be some immediate deliverance off of some things. But when you commit, when you put yourself into situations and you commit to practicing them years and years and years, it takes a long time for those things to get out of you. Amen. The same way it got worked in you, it's got to get worked out of you. Amen. And I think sometimes we take that for granted because we're looking for God to do the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And what He's doing in this process is building something in you. Hallelujah. If everything has to be a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, then there is no appreciation for grace. Amen. We have no appreciation for mercy. Amen. I understand that what keeps me and what causes me not to go back when I get flustered out of my mind and smoke cigarettes is grace. Oh my gosh, help me! So this is what I have, or what as I was speaking to the Holy Ghost, what He began to share with me on tonight is that deliverance or victory has to be maintained. Watch this. Now, this is going to be the thought that we're coming from on tonight. One victory at a time. One victory at a time. Now, in the day and age that we live in, that we don't like that. We don't like that one. I want it now. I want you to do it, Lord. I want you to make it happen, Lord. I want to have a powerful testimony. I want to be able to tell the world. But the testimony comes with him keeping you. Hallelujah. And we forget that part of our testimony. We think our testimony is, I did this back in the day and I don't do it no more. But your testimony is, you still want to do it, but he keeping you. Whew, Jesus, help me. The testimony is, I still want to do it, but there's something that resides in me. There's something that comes over me. There's something that has me captive. That causes me not to give myself an end to the sin that I want to be in. Amen. Now, when we look at our text in Hebrews 4:16, what I begin to understand is this text wants to let us know, or this text wants to expound upon the thought of what do we do when the dust settles, when everything settles down, when all of the hollering and screaming has finished, when we've gone through our process of allowing God to purge us, when we've gotten back to the place of being restored in him, what do we do at this point? So when we go to our text, at the beginning of the text, the first thing Hebrews 4:16 says, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace. So the first thing I begin to understand about the process or the maintenance of deliverance or maintaining my one victory at a time is I don't have to do it by myself. I don't have to do it by myself. The scripture says, let us. Hallelujah. Let us. And see, I think a lot of times when God brings us out of something and when God transitions us out of the place where we are delving in sin, that we feel like we are by ourselves. Hallelujah. And it's me. It's my issue. I don't have nobody. You don't understand, or man, you don't understand. No, I may not understand in my flesh, but there is someone who understands. Because if we look at the text right before, amen, the verse 16, it begins to discuss about how Jesus came and took on the form of mankind. He took on the form of humanity so that he can be able to identify with all of the proclivities that we have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means all of the frustration we contend to feel, the anger, all of the things that we feel, he took all of that on so he could identify with your shortcomings. Hallelujah. So then he lets us know that as we are, amen, walking out or maintaining our place of deliverance, that this is not something we have to do alone. God is with us. Hallelujah. Now watch this. It says, okay, Romans 8:34 says this. Watch this. This is how I know. This is how I know we're not by ourselves. Romans 8:34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. My. So now I'm taking you somewhere, because when he begins to say, let us, now he's letting you know that he is already in a place where he's beckoning you to come. Ooh, Jesus, my God. He's already somewhere that he needs you to come. He's letting you know that this transition, this movement, this thing that you're moving into, you don't have to do it by yourself. Why? Because I'm already sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. And you want to be in the presence of the Father as well. So this is a beckoning call, letting us know, hallelujah, that we don't have to try to enter in or break in or do things by ourselves, but I got you even in your place of you, what you may perceive as a deficiency. Then it goes on to say, watch this. I'm going to jump to Colossians 1:13. And Colossians 1:13 says, watch this. This blessed my heart when I read this. It says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. My. So listen, he says, let us, the one who is rescuing us, the one who is sitting and waiting and beckoning for us to come in. He said, let us. Now then, watch this. Let, the word let is to permit, okay? Let helps us see that we are no longer a prisoner. We are no longer in bondage, but are moving forward in victory. Now, why do I say that? Because let is saying, now, when he says let us, and he's saying, then he goes on in Romans and talking about sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession, he's saying it's already an accessible place. So he's saying, let us go into, let us go. Come on. You know how when you young and you, let's say you go over one of your friend's house and your friend is like, come on, let's go to my house. Your friend can say very freely, let's go to my house, because I know my mom has already given me access to this place called home, and I am inviting in you into my place of access. Oh, woo, Jesus. I feel like I'm talking already. So he's saying, let us then approach his throne of grace. Again, watch this. That we need to be moving forward in victory, knowing, watch this, how to obtain our victory at a time, knowing that we have access. And then so when he's telling us, let us then approach, or let us go in, that means that we have, that there is a place that he's beckoning us and saying, you have permission to come here. And I think I said that. Let also denotes availability. Ooh, Jesus. Let also denotes an available. There is an available place for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, this is what we don't understand, that when God relieves from things, when Jesus delivers us from something, else, there then becomes a deficiency somewhere. Hallelujah. And not a negative deficiency, but there is a deficiency in us that needs to be filled up. Amen. And see, then he opens up a place for us to come and be with him. Hallelujah. To come and receive from him. He tells us, he said, come on. Come on. He said that Jesus is speaking. And he said, come on. Let's then approach God's throne of grace. Now, right here, I'm going to take my time here, because I really want us to really fully understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. When he talks about the throne, I equated the throne to the bench, to a judge's bench. Why do I do that? Because the word says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, right? And so our proclivity to sin will continually try to bring us up on trumped up charges. So he's saying, come on, let us go before the throne of grace. Come on, let's go, let's grow. But what happens is, and what we do is, we get stopped in our tracks because of our proclivity to sin. We're going into a place where we have access to. I'm gonna come and get you in a minute. I'm setting the stage, okay? So he then says to us, we're gonna go in to the throne of grace. The throne denotes the bench, and the bench, we sometimes, you know, feel some kind of way when we have to stand before the judge because of our proclivity to sin, and that proclivity to sin makes us or puts us in a position where we are continually having to be accused or accused. Now, watch this. We have to understand in this place that we are not being judged from the platform of man, or from humanity, but we're being judged from the platform of grace. But watch this. Let me go here. This is why this particular part of the text is so important, because what happens is, and why the Lord is saying this, and why he is beckoning us to come here, because what really happens is we withhold the truth of our deficiencies from God because of what we perceive will be a negative outcome to our case. I want you to understand. So he's talking. He's saying, let us approach. Come on. Come on. You have access. But what limits us from having access is not understanding what we're approaching. It says that we are approaching the throne of grace. But because of our proclivity to sin, because of our innate desire to sin, it hinders us from fully coming. Now, see, we're talking about how to maintain our deliverance. Hallelujah. So we say, God, I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. God does it. He sets us free. Now he says, now I want you to come in a little deeper. And as you come in a little deeper, I'm going to start exposing a little more. And so when you start going in deeper and you begin to expose more of yourself, you pull back because you say, oh, that's my sin. I can't let him see that. I can't let him see that about me. I can't let the judge see that because he's shown up going. He's going to bring me up on charges on that one. Now, I know I could give him this part of me, but I can't give him that part of me because I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to get charged for that. This is how we get caught in the cycle of the system, just like how you get caught in the cycle of the penal system, that you go before the judge, amen, you go with good intentions, amen, but you don't trust your lawyer. So you don't convey all of the right information to your lawyer as they are pleading your case. So listen, he's saying, Jesus is beckoning us. Come on, y'all. Let's approach. Let us, therefore, come on, me and you together. We're going to approach the throne of grace. He is our advocate. He is our lawyer. And this is what we do. We're sitting, amen, having a conference with the lawyer, and we only telling him half of the story. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. We only tell him half the story. Well, you know, this is my issue, and I'm so glad you delivered from me. I'm glad you delivered me from fornication, but you forgot to say, okay, God, I need to be delivered from lying. Okay, well, God, you delivered me from lying, but now I need to be delivered from whatever else could be my issue. And so this is what constant deliverance is. It pulls you in deeper, and as you go deeper, you're exposed more. But our issue is we can't fully stay in the delivered place because as he pulls us in and he exposes more, we draw back because we feel like we are going to be condemned or wrongfully accused of our sin. We only convey a portion of our stuff. So this is what happened. Our lawyer, Jesus, we put him in a pickle. Watch this. We put him in a pickle when it comes to defending our case. So we find ourselves, watch this, we perjure ourselves. And then we find ourselves in contempt of court because we lying. We were holding information. Watch this. But he said, Jesus has said, come, let's go before the throne of grace. The judge had already thought about acquitting you. What your lawyer was saying is you have access. All you got to do is come in. All you got to do is come in. Come in with the truth of who you are. Come in with your wholeness. Okay, I know I delivered you from this, but I want you to get a full pardon. Woo, Jesus. God Almighty. Some of us, we have been delivered from one thing, but there's still some other things that we may be wrestling with. And the Spirit of God said, I want to give you a full pardon. I don't want to just say not guilty to this charge, guilty to this charge. I need you to tell me all your issues so that I can lay all of them out and say not guilty. Not, as a matter of fact, case dismissed. But because we withhold information from our lawyer, we're not honest about every part of who we are. When the lawyer is saying, come on, come on, come on. Look, I got an opening for you. Amen. I know the judge. Oh, Jesus. He said, I know the judge. I know him. I know what he's already going to do. All you got to do is just be honest about everything.
Hallelujah.
That's it. Just tell him everything.
Hallelujah.
Tell him everything. Remember when we went to court last month? Remember how he gave you a continuance? Remember how he gave you a say? Remember how he released your charges then? And here comes the enemy trying to bring you back on some different charges. Y'all, because that's what the enemy is doing. That's what deliverance is. Deliverance is when the enemy brings it up. He's trying to bring you up on some new charges. That's why you have to have constant deliverance, because he always got something for you. Oh, it's always something that he's going to try. As soon as you get to one good place in your life, here comes the enemy. Oh, I see you got that part. Oh, but you ain't doing this. Oh, but you ain't doing that. And your lawyer like, listen, we went last month. We won that case last month. Trust and believe. Because of the judge that we're dealing with, you're going to win the case this month. All you got to do is, just like you did last month, come in the right posture. Am I talking? Jesus. The text says, from your permitted place, approach. From your place of access, approach. Present your case with an assurance that your lawyer has the best ability. See, you know, we can trust We can trust God for our deliverance. We can trust Jesus for our deliverance. But we have a hard time trusting Jesus to help us maintain our deliverance. I'm delivered, I'm set free, hallelujah. And then as soon as the attack comes, oh, you forget Jesus. Come on now, that's what we do. Come on now, and that's why we wrestle with the same stuff over and over again, because when the enemy bring the charge back up again, you don't say, no, bro, case dismissed. What is that? Ain't no double jeopardy around here. Ooh, Jesus. See, that's we let the enemy run us up on something that's illegal. There is no double jeopardy. Hallelujah. And double jeopardy says that you cannot try me for the same crime the twice. Ooh, Jesus. But we keep letting him come, and he keep accusing us, and then we become the victim. Maybe. Instead of saying, no, I send you right back to hell. There is no double jeopardy. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God has released me from the bondage of the hand of the enemy. What I did yesterday and who I was yesterday, I am no longer that person anymore. Hallelujah. You're going to have to come with something different. And when you bring the next thing, I'm going to repent and ask God to deliver me out of that. And when you bring the next thing, I'm going to repent and ask him to bring me out of that. Come on here. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us. Are you with me? Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. So confidence. Confidence is knowing that when you stand before this judge, when you stand in front of the bench, you are going to be judged fair. It's the worst thing to have to go to court and you go before a judge and they act, you can see they shady to everybody in front of you and you like, oh snap, I don't really know what's going to happen. But it's nothing like having to have a conversation with your father and or presenting yourself before your father full well knowing that all he wants you to do is make the presentation. Remember we talked about last week about restoration and redemption. Remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago about justification. See, when you understand deliverance, then you can understand this text, because this is the epitome of justification. I can come to his throne of grace because I'm justified. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Because of justification. Justification says I don't deserve, but I know I'm gonna get the better of the deal. I don't deserve it, but I know I'm going to get the better of the deal. Watch this. It says, come with confidence. Confidence. I looked up all of the meanings of confidence. Confidence is trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Confidence is knowing that every crooked place in your life, when you rest on trusting the one who is judging from the bench, hallelujah, that all things are going to be made well. All things are going to be made well. What else is confidence? Confidence is firmness. Confidence is saying that no matter what, I trust what is going to be said, and I know that it's the best for my life. Okay? All things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. It's firmness. I know that what's going to be to me and about my life, it's for my good. What else is confidence? Confidence is to be persuaded. Lord, help me. Romans 4:21 says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Woo! Now, if you take this back to this text, if you take that right there back to this text, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Hallelujah. And then we connect it to Romans 4:21, because I'm fully persuaded that God has power to do what he's promised. His word said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. His word said I'm not going to falter, that all I have to do is come before him, repent my sins, and the Bible says he'll forgive me. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he's seeking to bless me. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. He ain't just looking, amen, to condemn you and to send you to the pit of hell. He is looking sons and daughters. He's looking for people he can pour his spirit into. He's looking for people that he can infuse and empower with his might.
Yeah.
Confident. So when I'm standing before the judge, I'm confident. I'm fully persuaded. I believe that the judge that I'm standing before, again, wants the best for me and will judge according to that. Confidence is outspokenness. Amen. And when we go before the throne of grace, we don't have to go all mealy mouth. We forget sometimes that, okay, like if we went through this whole process of deliverance, hallelujah, you went through all of this process of deliverance, and but you know that there are some other things in your life, that at this point, we shouldn't be going to the throne of grace mealy mouth, because you already know, God, you are a deliverer. So I'm coming because I know you can do it. I know you can set things that are out of order straight. I know you can rule justly. I know you can rule according to what my life needs. I know you're going to set me on the right track. Confidence is to have good courage, to believe. I believe God. Confidence is hope. Isaiah 40 and 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Confidence is hope. It's hope. And that's the one thing that we can stand on when we're standing before our Father. Even as he judges us, we have a hope in knowing the place in which he's judging us from. And that's the key here, y'all. This is the key to the whole thing, that he is not judging us. And this is why Jesus is so he's saying, come, because he's judging you from a place of grace.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Are you? See, that's why I'm saying all of this stuff. I'm saying that's why you can be confident, because he's not judging you according to what you did.
Ooh.
He's judging you according to the throne in which he is sitting upon, and that is grace and mercy. So I'm not going to look at what I could give you. I'm going to look at the blood that covers you. Confidence is assurance. Hebrews 10 and 35 says this. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. That's powerful to know that if I keep my confidence, that if I come or approach God's throne of grace with confidence, my confidence in knowing how he's going to judge from that throne of grace, it's going to be rewarded. I'm not conveying this because I promise you all. He is saying here, he is saying, if I'm judging you from the throne of grace, you have to be confident to know that you can keep bringing the stuff to me. You can keep bringing the proclivities to me. You can keep bringing the deficiencies to me. You can keep bringing it to me because you're confident. You've seen my track record. I'm sitting on the throne of grace, and I'm ready to extend the grace to you. Just come. Why you got to give your lawyer, such a hard time? Let your lawyer know what they need in order to effectively defend you. What is the reward? The reward is mercy or grace to help in our time of trouble. What's mercy? Mercy is compassion. It's pity. Grace, watch this. Grace is the acquittal. So he's sitting on the throne of grace. He wants to release that grace to you. Grace is your acquittal. Grace is saying, I could charge you, but I'm not. That the charges that have been placed upon you, or that you have been accused of, I don't believe it. They didn't have enough evidence to hold up against you. Oh, Lord, help me. That's what grace is. Grace is, the charges were there. There was evidence, but it just couldn't stand up in court. It just couldn't stand up. The blood, the power of the blood was so strong that the evidence that was against you, it couldn't even surpass that power. He says, the scripture says, approach God's throne of grace. Watch this. This is how we should approach his throne of grace. First, without restraint. And when I say without restraint, I don't say that to mean wildly. I don't say that to mean without anything that would disrespectfully. But what I'm saying is understanding what you're approaching. You're approaching the throne of grace, so you don't have to approach God with the stance of I don't know if you wanna do it, Lord. Why wouldn't He wanna do it? If He's telling you to come to the throne of grace, listen, He could have very well said approach the throne of judgment, because there is a throne of judgment in the Bible. Ooh, see, that's why it's so powerful to see that, because, see, it could be the place of judgment. Hallelujah. When He placed judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, when He releases judgment in the book of Revelation. Come on. When the flood came, that was a release of judgment. Y'all ain't gonna say, he was sitting in the throne of judgment and He released that judgment over the people. But He's saying to you and all of your mess and your proclivities, He said, no, I'm not going to sit in the place of judgment. I'm sitting at the throne of grace for all of your stuff to come. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to forgive you if you come in the right posture. Mm-hmm. Just come on. So we need to come without restraint. Don't come with all that mealy-mouth stuff. Come on now. I'm talking about getting deliverance. For you know what I realized in this season, y'all? Every time the Holy Spirit drops something on me, every time He drops something on me that I did in my past, I immediately repent. Mm-hmm. I find the source. I need to find the source, the root of the issue. Hello? This is what He wants. That's how you approach the throne of grace. So, okay, last week God delivered me from lying. Okay, this week He delivered me from the spirit of deceit. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me. See, and then next week He'll deliver me from the spirit of murder. Y'all ain't going to talk. Oh, my God. Come on. Because every time those things come up, I go right boldly. Oh, God, yeah, I remember I did that. Yes, I do. I repent. Take everything out of me that looks like that. Cut all the ties. Come in and break, and I cast off those spirits that in me that are because of the residual effects of those things. This is what He's saying. So He said, yeah, I did deliver you from this thing last week. Hallelujah. But now we need to go. We're going deeper. So I'm exposing something else, because I want you to live in freedom. I don't want to keep, listen, who want to go to court every month? Come on. But this is where a lot of us find ourselves. We find ourselves daily in the court, fooling with the enemy. Fooling with the enemy, because we have not learned the art of coming boldly and saying, oh, okay, see, I don't even have to deal with you. I don't even have to deal with the prosecutor, because I got my own lawyer. No, prosecutor, you don't talk to me. The prosecutor, you will not talk to me. You talk to my lawyer. That's good God Almighty. See, that's what we talk to the enemy too much and say, no. See, I have someone on staff that can defend me. If you want to speak to me about this case, you speak to my lawyer.
Jesus.
Speak to my lawyer. Hallelujah. And so that's how we come boldly. Hallelujah. Come with confidence. You gotta come. We have to come without restraint, because we already know. Listen, I'm not coming with my hands tied. That's why when Jesus is talking to us, He said, come on. Come on, you have access. Amen. Before He delivered us, we were in bondage. Now we are not in bondage. We still struggle with some things, but you are no longer in bondage. He said, don't come to me like you a prisoner. Come to me like, see, when we come to me in the place that you're in of freedom, you're free. And if you want to maintain your freedom, if you want to maintain your freedom, you're going to come to me in a different posture.
Yeah.
Okay. And then He says, then we need to approach God's throne of grace with freedom. Amen. With liberation in our heart. I'm excited to know, God, that you this may be something I'm dealing with, but I'm grateful that you're exposing it, and I'm glad I got a place to lay it down.
Yeah.
Freedom. And then with legitimacy. What do I mean by that? I mean, don't come with some old, well, you know, Lord, I just want to repent for having the spirit of vulgarity in my mouth. But you know what, Lord? They be making me mad, though. Come on now. You ain't even know. No, ain't nobody controlling your mouth. You know, because sometimes we come to, we want to see, if God had to release me from it. We blame everybody.
Oh,
you know, it was my mama thing. I act like this because of my mama. No, you act like that now because of you.
Jesus. Come on, say something.
Come on. Come on. Yeah, and not daddy did it. No. When are you going to take accountability?
Hallelujah.
So when you're coming before the throne, you got to come with a legitimate case.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Don't mess around and get your don't mess around and get more charges on you because you said it and you're wasting the judges. See, that's what we do a lot of. We waste God's time because we all around the merry-go-round instead of coming and letting him know, God, this is my, it's me, oh,
yes.
Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
My God.
You know, we want to come in, Lord. I just want to lift up a prayer for Sister Shay Shay because, you know, every time she make me mad, I just feel like I just want to just go all for her. Now pray for yourself and the spirit of wrath and rage that's in you.
Oh,
and see, then maybe when you allow the spirit of God to deliver you from wrath and rage, then Shay Shay will begin to see the spirit of goodness and kindness and love on you.
Jesus.
Oh, my.
Go ahead.
But see, we don't want to do that. But he said, when we come in before his throne, come with legitimacy. Be legit when you come before God. Don't come with all this crazy stuff. Come on now. If you know he delivered you out of one thing, come on now. Let him do the full work in you. Come on, the Bible says, and the work that he began in us shall be completed until the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. We always think that work is just, because I'm called. No, I'm talking about your life.
Yes.
Your life, not your calling, not your purpose, not your title, your life. Let him finish the work in you. Let him get all that stuff that was impregnated in you from the inception. The Bible says we were born in sin. So from the day we were born, we had a proclivity to act a fool. And so we have been poured into right from the beginning how we were taught as babies how to lie. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Taught how to lie, taught how to steal, taught how to be manipulative, taught. See, now let me work all of that stuff out of you. Keep coming back. Come. Come on. You got full access. Full access. Anytime. Come boldly. Come there. You know what? I remember, Lord, I was struggling with something when I was 4 years old. Lord, deliver me from that thing. But see, we don't think about stuff like that, the little things when you go in the little store and you pick up a piece of candy or whatever the case may be. I was just a kid. I ain't know. No. See, you ain't being legit. It's a spirit. Listen, let me tell you what the Spirit of the Lord told me today. He said, it's a spirit of Judas. The thieving spirit is a spirit of Judas. Because if you go back and you study the word, study Judas, Judas was the keeper of the money bag. And the Bible said that Judas would skim off the top. He would steal money out of the bag. And see, many of us have gone through our life, we started out doing little stuff. Y'all ain't going to
come on now.
We started out doing little stuff. You know, a little something here, a little something there, a little something here. Then we got a little older, start stealing bigger stuff. Amen. And then, you know, we all at the job taking the people's notebooks, ink pens. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk. I ain't getting my kids some food supply. Come on now. But that's thieving. It's stealing. And when you steal, it opens you up to a spirit of murder.
Oh,
and then it opens you up to a spirit of poverty.
Oh, God.
It cuts off your favor.
Jesus.
So many of us have been operating in the spirit of Judas all this long time. And because we have not renounced that spirit off of us. Because you think, oh, it was just a Milky Way bar, ain't no big deal. But see, think about how many Milky Way bars you've sold since then. Oh, my. Think about how much you've sold since that one little, ain't no big deal. Come on now. And if it don't belong to you, it's stealing. Uh-oh.
Right.
If it does not belong to you, it's stealing.
Yes.
If you have not been given authority over and you take it, you're stealing.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We don't want to talk about that. We were always want to talk. Yeah, listen, I rebuke the spirit of Jezebel. You better rebuke the spirit of Judas. Because a lot of us operating in it. And still. Come on, the Holy Ghost had to deal with me. I was at work one time and I was writing on a piece of little, in a notebook. And I said, well, I'm going to use this little notebook to write my little notes in. Holy Ghost said, you better not. You see? Don't you dare. You better not. That's not yours. Don't you take nothing that don't belong to you. Don't take nothing that does not belong to you. It's not yours. Amen. And I was using the little ink pens. Put it back. It's not yours. Go buy your own pen. And some pens, not yours. Hallelujah. Oh, see, I'm helping somebody on the phone. Yeah. I know I am. I know I am. Because somebody needs to renounce it now. You got a whole pocketbook full of your job pens. Take them back. Take them back. Take all that stuff back. It's not, and because you, what we do, what the Holy Spirit showed me today is we are stopping up our favor.
Yes, sir.
Come on, we have been calling favor in from the north, south, east, and west, and the ships cannot come in. They are sitting at dock, and we cannot board the ship to get our favor and the blessing because we have been trying to board them, and we don't have a legal pass to get on.
Yes.
Your name not on the docket. Your name not on the docket. You can't get on this ship. Well, God, you say I got favor. You do got favor. You do got favor, but you gotta get your paperwork right, boo. You gotta get your paperwork right. When you get your paperwork right, then I can release you to come on board. Ooh, Jesus. See, that's what I know helped somebody today. Hallelujah. I know that helped somebody. It had to have helped somebody because somebody can. You trying to figure out why your money can't never get right. God, why I feel like every time I'm always robbing Peter to pay Paul, I'm always struggling in my finances. I, no matter how much I pray, I tithe, I fast, I do everything that I'm supposed to do. He said, take your mind back. Take your mind back till you stole that first thing. You never renounced it. You never repented. You never repented. He said, so what you did, you created a tie with it.
Oh,
so everything in your life, you think was, you thought it was little things. He said, no, the enemy was building a case against you. Mm-hmm. See, that's why he has legal right to your money.
Because
you haven't renounced it. Now, that's why he says, come boldly before my throne of grace, that you may share, that you shall obtain mercy in the time of trouble. See, that's why you got to become bold and say, yeah, I know what I was back then, but no, baby, I'm repenting today. I am no longer going to walk in the seat of the scornful. I'm no longer going to be a thief. I'm not operating in the spirit of Judas. I'm coming against everything that's attached to that spirit. I cut off the spirit of murder. I cut off the spirit of debauchery. I cut off the spirit of lying. I cut off the spirit of having double tongues. I cut off the spirit of the gossip. These are the things that are attached to being a thief. Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody need to do that. Like Dick and Nate did. Somebody need to just decree it in the atmosphere. Now, God, I repent. I repent for everything I stole, everything that I took that did not belong to me. I repent now in the name of Jesus. I repent for those things that I never told nobody that I stole. I repent for even the little itty bitty things that I stole. I repent for them now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that now that I have severed that and I have renounced that, I will no longer be connected with the spirit of Judas, nor any of its effects. And I decree now in the name of Jesus that the spirit of favor shall be upon my life, that faith, that wealth, and riches shall be at our home in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I decree favor shall be upon us and that we shall have favor with God and with man in the name of Jesus. I decree that everything that has been held up shall now come into fruition in the name of Jesus because of our obedience to repentance. Hallelujah. Come on. Give him a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're right at the end. We almost done, guys. Hallelujah. And then we should come transparently. Amen. This is, we were just talking about that. Be real. Be real. Come on, let's be real. I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning this thing. Let God expose that stuff. Stop acting like it don't exist. Glory to God. Let him expose that stuff. Let him expose. Come to him with that stuff. Amen. You might have been delivered from this one thing, but amen. It may be something else. Go into, wait a minute, hold on, Dad. Since you aren't in the mood to deliver, I need something else on that. Come on now, since the door open, let me let you know about some other things I need some help with. Hallelujah. And wait a second, come on, man, come on in here. You have the ability. If you want to be free, God Almighty, help me. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you want to be free, completely and totally free, you have access to that. If you want it. Hallelujah. And then finally, truthfully. And that goes along with everything we were just talking about. Be truthful. We're going to be truthful to God as we come before him boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Because what grace Grace is going to, we're going to receive grace because of our honesty. Because you know what? That's what grace is. It's pity. Because once he sees our honesty and he sees the humanity and the deficiency in our humanity, he's going to have pity on us. Wow. Wow. You know, I can imagine that he'll think back to Adam and Eve and like, I got to love them because they got put in a situation that they had nothing to do with.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Can you see that? They in a situation they ain't had nothing to do with. I love them. I love them. I love them, though. I love them. Look. Right quick. Let's go to Matthew 12, 43 and 45 real quick. And then I'm going to be done. Matthew 12:43 through 45. And I'm going to read that really quickly, and then we're going to be done. The scripture says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because when we go back and talk about how we talked about Psalms 51 and deliverance, yes, we are delivered. But what you putting in that place of your deliverance? What else are you doing? How are you maintaining that? What are you pouring into yourself so that you can stay fortified in your deliverance?
Hallelujah.
Are you allowing the Lord to have the fullness of control over you so that you can be fully delivered? Because see, what happens, what we do, and this is what this text says, we get delivered, but we don't fill it up with nothing. Nor do we ask God to fully deliver us over and over again. So when those enemies, when those spirits start seeking us, we have nothing there. So they can come back and reside again. And so, oh my God, I had an attack today. Yeah, because you have nothing there. What are you putting in the place of your, I'm free, I'm delivered. Okay, all right, let's keep going deeper. You got to put something there. You have to put the truth of the word of God. You've got to put the Holy Spirit there. You have to put authenticity there. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Not being so full up of ourselves that, God, you did it, and I'm a wonder now. But no, you know what, God? It's yet a work to be done in me. Humility. I need you more. Once he delivered you, you're just not free. No, I need you. I need more, God. I need more deliverance. I need more healing. I need more restoration. I need the fullness. I need it all. Hallelujah. So what the Lord wanted us to understand was today that now we have our deliverance. And the deliverance is wonderful. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And he wants us to stay in that place. But understand that there is a maintenance plan attached to it. We have to maintain. We have to maintain our deliverance. Hallelujah. And it comes with allowing God to put us and bring us into a place of being delivered over and over and over and over. How liberating is it when God delivers you from one thing and then he says, okay, that when he starts bringing, you know what I realized today, y'all? I realized when he starts bringing stuff back to back to back like that, that shows your character and maturity. But if you keep running into the same thing over and over again, that also shows your character and maturity. So when he can trust you to say, are you ready to be delivered from that? Because you have fully dealt with this. That's a blessing. So we should want God to continue to pull us and open us and expose us because it gives us such a sense of peace. It's so peaceful to be in a place where we know God has fully made us whole. Hallelujah. When God asked when Jesus asked the man, asked the man who was crippled, do you want to be made whole? I don't think Jesus was talking to him on the strength of like a half and half, or I'm going to do half today, I'm going to do half tomorrow. But he was asking him, do you want to be made whole for the duration of your life? And even after he healed him, and the man began to go and talk about it. I don't think he was healed from his physical problem. But then there had to be a mental healing that had to take place as well. Because when Jesus told him, don't tell nobody, just go. As soon as the man got up, he ran and told everybody. So he still was struggling with something. He was struggling with a little bit of disobedience, right or wrong. And then when we missed that in the text. And Jesus said, don't tell nobody. He went right out and tell everybody. I just told you, don't tell nobody. So that means you're not fully delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we always have to continue to come back to God and let God fully, yes, we are delivered. Yes, we're standing in wholeness. But I realized even today for myself as I was praying and the Lord had to expose some of my stuff. He said, no, you ain't done. We got some more. You know what he told me earlier today, y'all, then I'm done. He said, we excavating. That's the word I heard earlier today. He said, I need to excavate you. I need to go in and dig those deep things out of you. The stuff you forgot. We need to excavate. I need to excavate. Get it all out. I need to expose all of that stuff because I want you free. I want you for real. I don't want the enemy to have no charges against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's bless God for the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word that came forth on tonight. We pray, Father God, that it was good for the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as even on last week, how you ushered us into a place of whole deliverance, we thank you today for reminding us of how to maintain our deliverance. I thank you on today, God, for letting us know that the enemy may try to come and snatch away our freedom, snatch away our joy, but today you gave us a maintenance plan. Father God, you told us on today that we don't have to stand in the attacks of the enemy, but you said we can come boldly to your throne of grace, and in that time that we may obtain a mercy in our time of trouble. So every time we feel the enemy coming in, we can stand before you and say he's a liar, but God, what have you said about us? Every time the accuser of the brethren tries to accuse us, we can say, no, I will not talk to the prosecutor, but you talk to my lawyer, and my lawyer is King Jesus. He is my vindicator. He is our savior. By his precious blood, we're washed clean in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the Father who sits and judge righteously, God. I bless you, Father God, that you judge us righteously, that you don't judge us according to our foolishness, but you allow, when you look upon us, you see your son, you see your love, you see mercy, you see the blood, and you extend grace. We love you, and we're so grateful for that on tonight. And we pray over everybody that is under the sound of my voice that they will walk in their total victory. I've made this declaration, God, and we're going to make it again. You said that we are no longer victims, and not only are we striving to walk in victory, but God, we are decreeing in this new season we're in that we are victory. Father God, we are the victory, and we shall walk in that place and not let the enemy steal another drop of that peace from us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, my time is up on this afternoon. I praise God for all of you who have joined us for our Bible study on tonight. Again, you can go to our website, which is www.ditrministries.com, to find out more information about A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship experiences every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at 6209 Lakeside Avenue. Listen, don't be a stranger. We would love for you to come and fellowship with us. Hallelujah. Our time is up, and I just want to let you know, ma'am, I just want to let you know, sir, that no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what you're experiencing, whether things be good or whether things be bad, no matter what people have said about you, it doesn't even matter, my friend, what you think or say about yourself, but I'm here to let you know that you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does. I love you again, and go in peace. Thank you for tuning into Ignite. I pray that something was said on today that has provoked you to seek after God the greater, and that you would make a new commitment to your God-given purpose. We would love to hear your testimonies as to how God is igniting your life. Please contact us at www.ditrministries.com. And be encouraged. Time and pressure perfects God's purpose for our lives. No matter how rough things may seem on the outside, you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace.